Welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. It's been 15 years since the hit Coen Brothers movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, ignited a national interest in bluegrass and traditional music.
I'll fly away, oh Gloria.
But bluegrass hasn't gone away, of course, especially in Indiana. Tiny Bean Blossom in the wooded hills of Brown County is the site of what's said to be the oldest continuously running bluegrass festival in the world, the Bill Monroe Memorial Bean Blossom Bluegrass Festival. Monroe is often called the father of bluegrass. Here's what he sounded like in a 1980 performance at the White House. Bill Monroe died in 1996, but the festival and the tradition of his music continues. We went down to Bean Blossom this summer for the 49th year of the festival and met up with Jim Piva, an attorney and former administrator with the Indiana State Police, who met Monroe a long time ago and became good friends.
What was Bill like?
He didn't talk very much. You try to get a conversation out of him, and usually he'd say, "Yes, sir. No, sir. Is that right?" You know, and then you unless it was something he wanted to talk about, but he could speak through that mandolin, you know. That was his. But he was a nice man. He was a perfect gentleman to my wife and my three girls. He watched my three little kids grow up from little kids to young women on the front row of that Brown County Jamboree. And we got to know him pretty well. And we went down to the Opry, and he would get us backstage, and we could go hear him prepare for the Opry backstage, and you know, rub elbows with all the big stars, and we were good friends with Kenny Baker, who was his fiddler for about 21 years, and off and on we'd go down there several times, and Bill's been to our home for a meal maybe two or three times. One time brought the whole band. My wife cooked for about 3 days getting ready for him. Bill loved home-cooked meals because, you know, so much of the out on the road they're eating in truck stops and restaurants. And you know, that reminds me of something else, how bluegrass music spread. When Bill first started, of course, he and his brother Charlie started as the Monroe Brothers. They split in about 38. In 1939, Bill became a member of the Opry. And so Charlie didn't try to get on the Opry. Bill had already made it. And bluegrass music spread because it had that nationwide broadcast of the Opry. And they would travel back in those days in a station wagon. Five musicians, sometimes six, cramped in a station wagon with all their instruments, the bass fiddle up on top in a canvas case, driving 200 or 300 miles between shows, washing up in filling stations, eating in truck stops, and the youngsters couldn't stand that, you know. So the average tenure with the band probably be 6 or 8 months or maybe a year. But Bill, you know, kept right on going. That's all he had ever known. And every one of those boys that became a member of that band and played with the master, a good many of them, when they quit because they couldn't take it, formed their own bluegrass bands. And there's a man out in California, Stuart Evans, that's done some research on the bluegrass boys. He had three categories: regular members, part-time, and recorded with Monroe. 299 different individuals played in one of those three categories over Monroe's 60-year period. Now, that's a lot of people. And so a lot of them formed their own bands. Well, some of them, Sonny Osborne played with Bill Monroe, Don Reno played with Bill Monroe, Jimmy Martin played with Bill Monroe. They after they leave Monroe, they start their own bands, their own career. So the music, the bluegrass music has probably spread a lot because of the horrible conditions of working on the road. Of course, when they achieve a little success, then they buy a van or a bus, you know, and just a little more comfortable. And of course, Bill had a couple of buses late in his career, but he was a tough old geezer in order to stand the conditions that they had to work under in those days. And a very nice gentleman. He was so nice to us. In fact, a little anecdote perhaps, I think it was 1977. I'd been coming here ever since I met him, and he was in Oklahoma, and James, his son, was driving up here with all the tickets and paraphernalia for the festival. And on the way up, James's driver, one of his musicians, went to sleep, walked across the internet head on with another vehicle. He was killed. James wasn't severely injured, but Bill heard it up about the accident. So he called here at the Jamboree, and he asked if I was here, and he got me on the phone, and he says, will you watch the gate till I get there? Which in Monroe shorthand means take over till I get here, you know. So I stayed up all night in the ticket booth, sold tickets. Next morning we went out and we canvassed the entire grounds got the sold tickets to the people who were already here. And when he got here that afternoon then, he wanted to pay me for doing that. And I said, no, Bill, I said, I'm glad to do you a favor. Well, he couldn't quite go for that. So a couple of days later, I'm sitting right here at this same campsite. And after the evening show, here comes Bill and all of the bluegrass boys. And they played a song. I don't remember what they played, but he said, stand up. So I stood up and he handed me this certificate, frame certificate, which was a lifetime pass for as long as he lived to this festival. And that was his way of paying me for doing that favor. That's the kind of a guy he was.
He had known tough times in his own youth.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, he wasn't poor. They had a pretty good going farm down in Kentucky, but he was a hard-working kid. I think he went to the sixth grade. Then he had to stop and go to work, and they did lumbering and hard physical labor. Bill was a tough man. He was a very strong individual. When he first bought this property in 1951, he'd walk around the property and look for dead trees and cut them down with an axe. And, you know, he was no stranger to hard work. And if you were in the bluegrass boys, you'd learn pretty quick that you better do a little hard work with him, too. They would come along this fence row back here. He'd get all the boys. Before a show, they'd be in work clothes out here stretching this fence, and the people would come by and they'd say, is Bill Monroe here yet? And I'd say, yeah, he's here. They didn't realize he's right back here working his band, stretching the fence, you know, before the show.
Jim Piva, an attorney and former Indiana State Police colonel and longtime friend of Bill Monroe. He wrote the book Bean Blossom, Its People and Its Music, a pictorial history of his experiences at the festival.
Indiana Weekend, Real Radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Talking today about one of the state's best-known annual events, the Bill Monroe Bluegrass Festival in Bean Blossom, Indiana, in Brown County. One of the groups performing this year was the Punches family. Here's what they sound like. That's 13-year-old Emily on the violin and her twin sister Brooke on the dobro. I found the girls in between performances at their booth, where, like other acts, they sell CDs and chat with fans. I asked Emily what she does.
I play guitar and I sing a lot of the songs. I sing harmony and sing most of the songs, so, yeah.
Tell me what it's like to perform with your family. How often do you do this? How long? What's this like?
We've been doing it about 5 years. It's pretty great, but it has its spots, you know, just like any other thing. Sometimes we miss our friends, want to go home, we get homesick, but other times we really enjoy it.
Tell me about a time where you were out and you had a lot of fun.
Well, we always enjoy going to Silver Dollar City at Branson, Missouri. So that's always a fun treat for us, like a mini vacation, but I like going to Georgia. They really show you what Southern hospitality is, and it's just really great.
Emily, what do your friends say when they find out that you're a bluegrass performer?
They like it. Like, they really like it, and they say we have beautiful voices, and they really like singing by us and stuff, and they kind of work around it, and like whenever they get together at playmates or playdates or something, they'll say, are you going to be home this day? No? Okay, we'll schedule it a different day. So they work around us. So.
What's it like working with your family like this? Do you grow together? Do you become?
Yeah, we bond a lot, especially in that small van. We don't really talk much whenever we're in the van, but whenever we're out and about, we talk pretty much, yeah, a lot. So.
How many dates do you play in the summer, would you guess? Every week?
Every weekend we play. Pretty much every weekend we play, any time of the year, so.
Is there such a thing as too much time with your family?
Yeah, there is such a thing like that. It's kind of gets like, oh, can you kind of give me my space? But yeah, it's sometimes like that, and it gets fun, but yeah.
Is there a song that you all do together? Is there, I mean, when you were really little, did they say, oh, bring the girls out, bring Emily and Brooke out, girls, sing a song. What would you sing for them?
There's this one song that we used to sing. We don't sing it anymore, but Daddy's Girl. I don't know who it's by. Do you know who it's by?
By Red Sovine.
Yeah, Red Sovine. Yeah.
You ever heard that song, I'll Fly Away?
Yeah, that's about to
be. Can y'all sing that? How does that go?
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Oh, that's beautiful. Nice, man, that is nice. Bluegrass is different than other kinds of music.
Bluegrass is like it's completely different. We do like a bluegrass and gospel, and sometimes a mix of both. But bluegrass and gospel are totally different things. And like gospel, they wear all the dressy clothes, and bluegrass, they just wear jeans and t-shirts on stage. But yeah, we do a lot of songs that are both like that and stuff, so.
How about the secular music that maybe your friends listen to? Are you okay with that?
We listen to a lot of pop and modern music nowadays, and like a lot of it, and our friends do too. Some of my friends like country, some of them like gospel and stuff. It's just a mix, so yeah.
What would you like to do when you get older? You're only 13 now.
Well, she really wants to be a doctor, and I'd like to be a bakery, but I don't know if I could get up that early every morning to bake. So I don't know, my kind of still back and forth.
Have you talked to many of the people who come to these festivals, and what are they like, and what kind of conversations do you have?
Well, most people ask us how old we are, how long we've been doing it, and we just chit-chat about all that stuff, and then sometimes we'll tell them about moments that we've had that are funny and stuff.
There are other people your age who are out at these festivals,
yeah.
Not a ton of them, but some of them. Do you guys talk with each other and compare notes and stuff?
Yeah, like every time we go to a festival, Brooke sees somebody that is our age, she'll go over to and talk to him. I'm kind of shy like that. Like once in the beginning, I'm kind of shy. And then I'll start to get used to him and start talking to him and stuff. So yeah, they do have things about common. So.
What are these festivals like?
They're really, really fun to me. Like, cause I get to see all the people and all the old stuff and hear the music and everything. It's real fun to us, but.
There's people from everywhere. I mean, I drive all the way from Minnesota and all the way from Georgia. It's totally different people. They have totally different personalities, and it's just fun seeing all the different people here. I come from all over the place. There's a guy from Sweden or something like that here. Yeah, there's just people from all over the world that come here and just enjoy bluegrass music together.
So, you want to be a doctor and you think you might want to be a baker. You're not thinking about doing this, becoming professional musicians, right? Do you think you will have had enough of that by the time you're...
I might. I really don't know. Like, I probably won't whenever I get older. Maybe just a few here and there, but not full-time like what we do now. But I might. I'll probably think about it whenever as I get older, but yeah.
When you get older, do you think that there'll be anything from this experience of being out at these places that you'll look back on and you'll go, that was cool, I'm glad I did that?
Yeah, there'll be a lot. Like, sometimes I've got games and stuff, and we'll play them, and sometimes we'll have fiddle contests and guitar contests and stuff, and we'll sometimes enter those, and we'll think back on, oh, that was so much fun, I want to do that again, and stuff like that.
That's Emily Punches, 13 years old, going into ninth grade. Their family group is the Punches, and her sister Brooke plays the dobro. They were at the Bean Blossom Bluegrass Festival. They're from Fredericktown, Missouri, and perform with their parents and brother.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
So we were at the Bill Monroe Bluegrass Festival down in Bean Blossom talking with Jim Piva, a longtime friend of Bill Monroe and some of the performers, including Dave Adkins of the group Adkins and Loudermilk. Listen to this and let me know what you think.
You know, Bill Monroe started bluegrass music in 1946. And when you say his name, you know, people that's in bluegrass or knows anything about it, that's the father, man. That's the guy that and to be here in Bean Blossom, Indiana, at Bill Monroe's Music Park, it's a chill bump thing just to get to play on this stage. And there's a few festivals out there that I say is a bucket list festival. And when you start playing, man, boy, one day we may get to play there. And so I got to check this off my list last year, and I'm just thankful and blessed, and you know, hopefully I can check it off a few more times, because this is one of my favorite places. And the camaraderie, the people, the love that they give you, it's really amazing, and we're happy to be here.
Tell me about where you're from.
I'm from a little place in eastern Kentucky that it's a tight-knit community, and folks around there, we live 5 minutes from Virginia, and into the Brakes Interstate Park, which is an absolutely gorgeous piece of the world, Grand Canyon of the South. And we always say it's the last big town before you leave the state of Kentucky, but it's just a wonderful place, man.
There has been a lot of music come out of that area.
There has. Just in that general area, you've got folks like Grammy-winning Ricky Skaggs, Larry Cordell, who wrote Murder on Music Row, and maybe 100 other hits. You've got Keith Whitley, who was my all-time, I get chill bumps every time I say his name, you know. And he also, besides the wonderful music that Keith did in country music, you know, unless you're a bluegrass fan, you didn't know he started out when he was 17, or maybe a little younger, with Ricky Skaggs, with Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys. You know, in the late 70s, he played with J.D. Crowell in the New South. You know, so you've got
Dwight Yoakam.
Dwight Yoakam. You've got Skaggs. You've got Whitley. You've got Cordell. You've got Lauren Lynn, Crystal Gayle, Patti Loveless. It's amazing. It just a wealth of talent.
Why is that?
You know, I don't know if I'm right or not, but to me, especially back in that day when those folks were coming up, and even in the age that I am, you know, it's a poor kind of area, and there ain't a whole lot to do, so the folks that played would play to entertain the younger kids or members of the family after the work day was done, and I think that they just had a lot of time in the evenings to hone their craft, you know, that's what they did.
And bluegrass works really well on a front porch in an informal setting.
That's where it's been. I mean, you know, when I was younger, we grew up, and we would have, you know, we would have folks that would come outside, because there was always four or five of us that were picking on my dad's front porch. And, you know, the way we lived, and it kind of spread out, and the sound went out, you know, you may end up with 50 people in your yard just, you know, sitting around listening to music. And it happened a lot, man, and I miss those days, you know. People don't do that or don't seem to a whole lot anymore.
Bluegrass lovers really like to participate too. There's people who bring their instruments.
Oh my gosh. You know, Bean Blossom is one of the biggest places that I've seen as far as jamming goes. You may drive around this beautiful place and see as many as 100 people listening to four guys play beside a shade tree and doing it because they just want to be there, you know? And folks make, I've heard so many people say, we made lifelong best friends at a bluegrass festival. You know, you come to a place like this, and it's something everybody has in common, is you're there for the love of music, and you're there to share your excitement about keeping this music alive and growing.
Bluegrass is different from other popular music forms.
It is. To me, bluegrass is so family-oriented. You know, these folks out here, I never call a fan. You hear a lot of people say, oh, well, I've got these fans, or I love my fans. I think a fan is something that'll keep you cool. I've said since I was a young kid that these people will feed you, they'll take you in, they'll give you a place to stay. They'll do whatever you need done for you, and they love you, and they're good to you. That's friends, man. You know, I can't call somebody a fan that helps me do the thing that I love every day.
There's a connection sometimes between bluegrass and gospel.
Gospel music, to me, is one of the most prettiest forms of music that there is. And when you add the gospel, the harmony, and the stringed instruments, and the way that the acoustics, and the way that they're done, we have a gospel song that we do, and I'm going to try to tell you, it's not getting teared up. My granny, her favorite song, give me a second. My granny's favorite song was I Can't Even Walk. Help me out a little bit, granny. And I played it for her every time that we had a show. I always did it for granny. And I lost her 3 months ago, and the last thing she told me, she said, "Will you keep playing my song?" So we do that every show, and sometimes it's hard, but it's getting easier. But it's a beautiful thing, man. You know, you get people out of here, and some song may mean so much more to somebody else. But everybody feels what they're feeling. You know, they get that, they touch their heart.
Will the circle be unbroken?
Dave Adkins of the group Adkins and Loudermilk from Eastern Kentucky. I thought he did a good job expressing the emotion of bluegrass music. If you'd like to know more or want to catch up with other events in Bean Blossom, go ahead and check out BillMonroeMusicPark.com. And that's our show for today, music fans. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer and musical director, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touush. Drop me a note at IndianaWeekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flexsteel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.